Good morning. If you can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 20 through 31. Move that kind of out of the way. And I titled this Believer's Interdependence. So Paul had just finished illustrating how we are all by one Spirit, baptized as believers into one body. Thus we are one, and there should be absolutely no division amongst us. Paul mentioned the Jew or Greek, slave or free, all of us have been made to drink into one Spirit. So God has set us up just like he set up the members of our body, each having specific gifts or uses. So we saw Christ as the head of the church, the body of the believers, and Paul using body parts to explain this to the Corinthians as they were apparently divided and jealous of each other's gifts. He noted this in verse 15 of this chapter. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And in dealing with this, Paul pointed out that if all the members in a church are given the same gift, how would the church function? He stated it this way, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? To have a healthy, effective, functioning church, you need the different gifts. So Paul let the Corinthians know that God set the member, each of them, as he pleased. He gave the gifts to those whom he chose, showing his divine sovereignty. So let's read through these verses. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and again, we just give you thanks. The privilege of being able to meet here, Father. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this building. And Father, the gifts that you've given us, Father, individually. Father, I would pray that we open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and that, Father, we would understand the gifts and how we are to use them within the body, Father. Lord, thank you for everything you provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So we see two truths that complement each other here. Many members. That God given diversity. Individuals with different gifts that God has blessed them with. One body, that unity we have in Christ as he is the head of the church. It is this unity that is the reason the enemy comes against us. Thus Paul continues to focus on it, and we've seen it throughout this chapter. Individualism is appealing to us. We all like to do our own thing. Most of us like to do it without obeying or depending on others. I came across this poem called Inviticus by William Ernest Henley, and in a lot of ways this sums this thought up. It says, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the honor of the shade. And yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. There was another song that Frank Sinatra wrote that became pretty famous. I did it my way. The human condition. And this is exactly what Satan wants, for the body of Christ to focus on our individual diversity, our own desires, instead of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. To hold grudges against each other, separate ourselves from the body based on being a Jew or Gentile slave or free, rich or poor. Paul has been showing us that each believer is intentionally different. All belong inseparably to one body. We should be embracing both realities, the diversity of the gifts supporting the one body, as it protects the body of the church from division and releases every member to serve for the common good and the glory of God. And you see it in the world today, how they divide. But we in the church should come together in unity, focused on Christ. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So Paul here again using the human body to illustrate the interdependence of the members of the church. The eye, representing vision, he can't dismiss the hand, which represents action and service. The eye shows them where to go. The hand goes and handles the business. Using body parts to show that all spiritual gifts and the roles within the church are necessary and valuable. No member can claim superiority or independence, as each part contributes to the body's overall function and the health of the body. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5 says this, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Nor can the head say to the feet, I do not need you. The head, often seen as that symbol of leadership or authority. The feet representing the foundational support or your movement. The head's inability to dismiss the feet underscores that necessity of every member's contribution, regardless of the perceived importance. You know, I can recall a time when my pastor decided to can all the elders. He fired us all. I was one of them. Set us all down. And we were at a retreat in Kittapeak State Park, and he asked me what I thought about that. And at that time, I told him, you know, we shouldn't have done that. One or two, maybe, but not all of them. Because I believed, and I still do, you need that prayer coverage from your elders. And I think about it now, the elders of the church not only pray for me, but they pray for the congregation. They give me biblical counsel. I've asked them to ensure I stay true to the doctrine and asked them to correct me if I get off course. I want that correction. They assist in different functions within the church. And if I looked at them and I said, I do not need you, how far would I get? I'd be unprotected from the enemy spiritually when their prayers stopped. Or when they were praying, they were all upset with me and frustrated with me, so they wouldn't go very far. The love and services they assist with within the church, what kind of attitude would they have doing that? Without biblical counsel of the elders, me personally, it would increase my opportunity to stumble. I look forward to sharing in the knowledge, to learning from them. I find a lot of it fascinating. And it certainly helps to understand a lot of biblical context. I look at our child care, and I see a love for the kids that come here. The children not only learning about Jesus, but enjoying it. Children excited about coming to church. Children who feel safe and loved by our teachers and the providers. Is that important? What if I said I do not need you? I look at the people in the church who fellowship, encourage each other, pray for one another, and willing to participate in others' lives and assist them. How long would I have a church, or would we have a church here, if I told them, I don't need you? We should not be looking at others and thinking they are unnecessary, but encouraging and edifying the members. Paul wrote this to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We should be humble and serve each other to the best of our ability. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 through 45, it says, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever, or whoever of your desires to be first, shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The Corinthians and the early church, with its diverse and sometimes divided membership, you knew what was going on in Corinth, all the different gods they worshiped, these people coming out of this satanic realm that they were in at that time, divided. And it shows our need for unity, the mutual dependence that we have on each other. The Corinthians were having a hard time with this. That culture then and now still values that social status of individualism above all else. It is the church that combats this type of worldly view. No much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. The parts of the human body that seem to be weaker, maybe less exciting, less seen in public, those are the parts Paul is now telling us that we truly cannot live without. Some parts, like the eye and ear, the hands or the arms, while they're important, you can still function if you lose a finger, if you lose a hand. My wife could share with you how having her gallbladder removed has affected her body. One might be able to say that, hey, maybe losing a finger, which is visible, easy to see, might be less disruptive than losing like a pancreas or a kidney or an organ of other type. Because you think nothing of them until something happens. So you could look at it in the same way. The most essential functions in the church are often carried out by Christians who use their gifts and do not call attention to themselves. No one knows your prayers, your acts of charity, how you serve Christ when no one is looking. We could look at this as the body can better survive with the loss of a member like an eye and a finger than it can if it loses the behind-the-scenes members like the lungs, the organs. The believing church is stronger because the behind-the-scenes, those members who serve without being recognized. And this is where people behind the scenes are sharing Jesus Christ with others. praying for others, interceding for others in prayer. Charity offered without the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing. So the least honored functions of the church become the most honored when God's people work together to protect and care for those who need it most. What more honored members do is important. But it literally cannot be done without the contribution of those other members. Your eye and arms don't work for long without a set of lungs. Paul letting the Corinthians know we must honor all parts of the church body. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 30, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. You know, I think when I read through all this, I think of that Bema seat, when all our works are tested, to see if they were done for the glory of God or for ourselves. A believer's work done behind the scenes, with no recognition from man, done for God's glory, that's going to turn into a reward. These works will also face less scrutiny, as only you and God know about them. You're doing it out of a love for Christ. Were works done in front of people, in the view of man, will most likely face more scrutiny, as we by nature seek our own gratification. Thus you have to deal with that Pharisee syndrome. I am so glad I'm not like them. Oh.